Americans may not agree on much, but we agree on Social Security. We all pay in. It ought to be there when we need it. Social Security could face a funding gap in less than a decade, and I don't want to see a pay cut. I'm with AARP in the fight to protect the Social Security we earned.
Pledge to protect Social Security at aarp.org/weearnedit. That's aarp.org/weearnedit. Paid for by AARP.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well out there, especially our good friends on the West Coast of these great United States, the Left Coast. And also the entire state of Hawaii. So yesterday, and this is going to sound really, but there's really not a polite way of saying this. But what happened to the 15-foot wall of water? I mean, all last night, yesterday, it was weather pouring out the window. I'd never seen anything like this. I was about to sit down for a nice relaxing evening, and my phone's lighting up and people are freaking out, and the warnings came out. Oh, by the way, and they're also saying that the U.S. Geological Survey may have fudged the earthquake numbers. Don't get me wrong, it was a strong earthquake, but they're saying it really was not as strong as they're saying it was. But the tsunami was heading towards Hawaii, this massive, 14-foot wall of water, and it was going to destroy life as we know it and retilt the earth off its axis just a smidge. I mean, the whole nine yards. And people, I mean, it was insane. I was watching the live news coverage on Hawaii News Now last night, and they said the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. There's really not much to say because it took hours for whatever it happened to happen. And again, we're glad everybody's okay. But I mean, people, just think about this, the aggravation, poor people stuck in traffic for hours, being told to evacuate for hours. And then it didn't turn out to be as bad as they thought it was going to be, which is great news. All that to say, what do you think is going to happen the next time a tsunami warning hits? Because have you noticed every single disaster, every potential disaster is the worst storm of the century? It's the worst tornado of the century. It is the worst flood of the century. It's the worst fog of the century. I mean, it's just nonstop. And it's almost as if the National Weather Service folk have bought into this idea of the weaponization of weather that the people over at the Weather Channel have been doing for years now. Where we, back when I was a kid growing up, we just used to have snowstorms or blizzards. And now it's Snowstorm Blaine. Which doesn't sound all that scary, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's what they do. So all that to say, I am curious, what do you think they're going to do with all of that? The next time they get the alerts and the warnings and the orders to evacuate, do you think everybody's going to get up and evacuate? Because there are going to be a lot of people who say, well, you know, we did it the last time and nothing happened, and we did it the time before that and nothing happened, and we did it before that and the time nothing happened. And by the way, that's exactly what happened in the hill country of Texas. I'm telling you, here in the Memphis area, we get a lot of these warnings, these alerts on our phones, flash flood warning. Not a single person pays any attention. Nobody pays attention. So anyway, all that to say, wow, it terrified a lot of people. They were expecting some sort of mass calamity, and fortunately it did not happen. So anyway, glad everybody is okay out there. But again, I'm wondering if they're, all of the data, all of the stuff they use to forecast these things and to analyze these things in real time, is that data actually worth anything? I'm just asking. But again, better safe than sorry, I reckon. Better safe than sorry. So look, this American Eagle story is getting legs of its own. Very shapely, good-looking legs, mind you. So let me do the backstory here. And there is a growing controversy over American Eagle, which is a clothing store. And they lost a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. And so they decided to ditch the wokeness and go back to what worked. And if you know anything about, mankind, if you know anything about sales, you know that if there is a very, you know, attractive looking sales clerk, then you are more than likely going to buy something and you're going to buy a lot of it. That's the way guys are. And you can say that sexist or whatever, that's fine, but that's just the way things are. I remember reading my Bible in the Old Testament when Noah needed some gopher wood. He just needed a little bit, but apparently a good-looking sales clerk sold him enough to build a giant ark. I think that's in the Revised Standard Version. But I'll give you an example. I was just at, a couple of years ago, I was at the George W. Bush Presidential Library, and that's the only people they hire are very attractive ladies. And this one lady came over to me, and I was just going to go in to get a T-shirt. And I ended up leaving that store with not only a T-shirt, a George W. Bush belt buckle, a giant coffee table book of the Audubon Book of Birds, and also a Stetson hat, only because she said I look good in a Stetson hat. And I got to be honest with you, folks, I don't look all that good in a Stetson hat. But she was a very attractive sales clerk, and I ended up buying half the store. It's still the running joke of the staff. So all that to say, I'm glad American Eagle realized, wait a second, having this lovely young lady as the spokesmodel, the spokes babe for their blue jeans was actually a pretty darn good business move and a pretty good marketing move. There, by the way, their numbers are up 11%. 11% their sales are up. That's unbelievable. Just really remarkable. But now you've got all of these people out there, and they're just raging over this. And now they're accusing the lovely Miss Sweeney of promoting whiteness because she happens to be of the Caucasian persuasion. Cut number one, please. Cut number one.
Yep, that got me too. And I don't know why. Maybe because it's just so blatant. I keep thinking that people just are not going to believe us until we're hung out there. But then even then, I feel like they'll be like, oh, no. Kind of like they are with. I see the same perpetual self-imposed victimhood. You know, I did a post about saying, hey, like, these are the action steps that we really need to see from the good whites. Where I said, I need protection. Put my cash out. And she goes, well, would you just rather white women just not follow you at all anymore? Because da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah, definitely unfollow me. If you thought you being here and clicking a follow button was doing me a favor, same as that one guy, whatever his name was. Oh, descendant of the oppressor. He's like, well, Lindsay still does a good job and I appreciate her work and labor. So I'm going to still follow her. No, definitely unfollow me. If you are any type of person, but especially a white woman who's coming to this platform thinking you're doing me a favor by clicking a follow button, leave now.
Okay.
Immediately
now. We're good. Thank you. That woman, by the way, a fat purple-haired person, and kind of looks like Barney the Dinosaur. And I'm not judging. I'm just describing. So MSNBC has a lengthy screed up, and this is the headline. Sydney Sweeney's ad shows an unbridled cultural shift toward whiteness. Advertisements are always mirrors of society, and sometimes what they reflect is ugly and startling. She said the internet has been quick to condemn the advertisement as non-inclusive at best and as overtly promoting white supremacy and Nazi propaganda. How are they getting all of this out of a very attractive white woman wearing a pair of blue jeans? I don't understand that. I will say that it's been, quite frankly, unusual because of late, over the past many years, a number of the ad companies out there and the marketing agencies, they have stayed away. They've shied away from white people, especially white men. Very, very rarely will you ever see a white man in a TV ad or any kind of a marketing campaign. They just don't do that. I don't think people are out there screaming and hollering and accusing them of racism. I think that's just, again, what do we care? It's their product. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a problem with the fact that American Eagle, this clothing store, has used an attractive all-American girl, a white girl, to promote their blue jeans. And sales are now out the wazoo. But basically, they're saying this. If you support Sidney Sweeney, you are a fascist. And I think a lot of teenage boys are announcing to their parents that they're coming out of the closet as fascist. That's what I think is going on in many homes around America right now. All right, we've got to take a quick break. And this is, it's bizarre. But ladies and gentlemen, it does give you a glimpse into what's really been happening in the underbelly of our nation's culture. And when you see all these folks, and by the way, Beyonce, she did a blue jean ad. I don't think anybody exploded in rage over that. It's only when they use a white person. Now, this all ties in to what's happening in Cincinnati right now. It ties into what's happening in a little town in South Carolina, Pickens County, South Carolina right now. And you know what, Will, I'll set the stage for this. I want to open up the phone lines and have a conversation about it. It's fascinating because last night, a city council member, a black city council member in Cincinnati, posted a series of messages in essence saying that the white people who got attacked and beaten in the streets, they got what they deserved. They got what they deserved. Then there was a situation at Presbyterian College. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes had a 7-on-7 football camp. A bunch of the black players accused a white player of using the N-word in a group chat. The white kid said, no, it never happened. There's no evidence that it happened. And they beat him senseless. It's all captured on video, by the way. The young man who's in high school was beaten so brutally, he will never be able to play contact sports again. That's how bad he was beaten. So the mom went to the school and was demanding somebody pay for this. Somebody needed an answer for this. And the school did nothing. So the mom posted a lengthy story about it on her social media page, and it went viral. And now everybody's talking about this story. And now we understand that some of the players involved have now been arrested. But again, the idea is these kids had it coming to them. Now, the victim said, I didn't say what I'm accused of saying, so I'll take the kid at his word. But even if he did say that word, does that mean he should be beaten within an inch of his life? Is that what we're saying here? I mean, this is insane stuff. What is it, the good books? We used to sing this song in Sunday school, red, yellow, black, white, we're all precious in his sight. We need to start teaching that song in American public schools and in Cincinnati, Ohio, and apparently nationwide. But it is hard not to imagine that something is going on in the culture with the critical race theory and all of the lessons about oppression that have filled our public school classrooms. And now you have to wonder, wow, what has our public education system done, and what have they unleashed on society? Well, I'll tell you what they've unleashed. They've told these kids for 12 years, you see those white people? They're responsible for all of your problems. That's not good. That is not good, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. And a very special hello to everybody watching the Todd Stearns Show on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live. Great to have all you guys with us, and of course, all of our great radio affiliates across the nation. So Jesse Waters last night was talking about all of this, the Sweeney situation. Let's take a little listen.
Marketing campaigns don't just sell products; they drive culture. And there's nothing more American than blue jeans.
The secret of life lies hidden in the genetic code. Genes are fundamental in determining the characteristics of an individual and passing on these characteristics to succeeding generations. Occasionally, certain conditions produce a structural change in the gene, which will bring about the process of evolution.
Somewhere along the way, Madison Avenue went woke. Being healthy and fit was replaced by body positivity and radical inclusion. Americans hated it because you can't manufacture the beauty standard. We know what looks good and what doesn't. It's instinctual. And now that the golden age has returned, so have movie stars in tight jeans.
But if you said that you want to buy the jeans, I'm not going to stop you.
Sydney Sweeney has her jeans.
You see what I did there, right? Jeans are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My jeans are blue.
Most Americans don't see a problem with that ad. They like it. And since the campaign dropped, American Eagle stock is up 15%. But liberals saw a white woman with blonde hair and blue eyes and thought she was ushering in the Fourth Reich.
Hey, American Eagle, now do black and brown women. Because black and brown women also have great genes that they inherit from their parents. Did you know that?
Talking about blue jeans and white people, boycott American Eagle. Boycott the out of them.
A blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman is talking about her good genes. Like, that is Nazi propaganda.
I don't know Sydney personally, but something tells me she's not a Nazi. And neither is the CEO of American Eagle, because he's Jewish. But that doesn't matter to the left. Nothing matters. They've demonized whiteness to the point that anything attractive and white is seen as an attack on anyone who isn't.
Does Sydney Sweeney know just how eugenicist and awful that ad was? Is she complicit in this, or is she just unaware?
Since Sydney Sweeney decided to do that little ad she did, I want to find some alternatives to Aerie. I really need new underwear.
American Eagle is like the last place on the list that I would think to do some like highly...
All right, that just gives you a little taste of the outrage out there. And the latest video, there's a Pilates teacher. She has three chins. I'm not sure how she does Pilates. But anyway, she says she's going to make her Pilates class extra hard for anybody involved in the Sydney Sweeney American Eagle ad. I just have a simple question. Are they upset over the white model or the blue jeans? What color exactly are they upset with? That's what I'm trying to understand here. Anyway, got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In the meantime, head over to ToddStarnes.com. All sorts of great content and great stories for you there. We'll be right back, America.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. OG in North Carolina. Hi, OG. What's going on?
Well, Captain Todd, I think the advertising company really lost an opportunity. That would have been a much more effective process if they had three couples, all good-looking young folks, and then that would have made a lot of sense.
So you think they should have had more than just the white girl?
They should have had everyone included.
Okay, what is that noise there, OG? Yeah, that's a little...
It's
hard to hear you. That's
coming in.
Yeah,
all
okay.
Right, I'm gonna take your office speaker.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah, guys... and, OG, hold on. When you do call in, folks, just be sure to take yourself off speaker so we can hear you. All right, OG, how's it going?
Take your off the speaker. Yeah, that would be a good idea. You got guys?
Okay, let's put OG on hold and get him all sorted out, and we'll get back to OG in just a moment. There's an interesting story out of Memphis, Tennessee. There is, we have a lot of charter schools here, and one of the charter schools, the Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering, and they put out a letter to parents and students saying, hey, look, we're not gonna let you wear Jordan sneakers. That would be the Nike. Is that the Nike? I guess Michael Jordan sneakers. Those are pretty expensive, too, if I am not mistaken. I think, a couple of $100 for the high end.
Yeah, very nice tennis shoes.
Very nice. So anyway, you're not allowed to wear those anymore. They violate the dress code, and I get it. They said the shoes, a student must wear black casual or dress shoes. That's what you're supposed to wear at this, and it's a science and engineering school, and I get that. Everybody's got a dress code. No problem. But the reason why they're doing this, that's what has everybody talking. So the Memphis Academy of Science and Engineering, they want to make sure that shoe choice does not become a barrier to education or belonging. I want to read this to you. This is from the school. We sincerely regret any confusion caused by our recent post regarding Jordans. Historically, Jordans, talking about the shoes, have frequently been associated with uniform infractions, which led to the reminder. We recognize the importance of personal expression and comfort. We are committed to ensuring that shoe choice does not become a barrier to education or belonging. So in other words, the school leaders are afraid that kids who can't afford to buy Jordans would feel excluded, and they need to feel like they belong. So I guess you've got to go shop at what? Payless? Shoe Carnival? Is that where you go for? I don't know. Go to the Walmart shoe section? Is that what they're recommending? I don't know. I mean, if they're going to do that, they may as well mandate that you wear a specific kind of shoe. So therefore, everybody is wearing the same shoe. So what I found fascinating is that Memphis parents overwhelmingly support the dress code. One mom writing on Facebook, and she says, well, if the shoe policy saves just one life, it's well worth it. Really? Are people really like, you know, are they like offing themselves because they don't have a cool shoe? Is that really happening? But again, this parent said, if just one person's life is saved. Another parent writing in, why does it even matter? Children are sent to school to be educated. If people are really pressed about their child not being able to wear Jordans to school, we definitely have a bigger problem. But critics say a dress code is one thing, but banning shoes just because a kid's feelings might get hurt is another. You know, back when I was in school, back in the day, Parker, why are you laughing? Back when I was in school, it was our dress code: Jordache jeans, Izod shirts, and this was when it came to the shoe wear. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Nike originally came out with only the canvas shoe. That was it. Then they came out with the leather shoe, but it was a white leather shoe. And you had three choices. You could have a blue stripe, a red stripe, or a black stripe. That was it. And if you got the leather Nikes, you were living high on the hog. And I have to say this, and I was sharing this story with the KWAM audience earlier today. I was the envy of every person in my school. And the reason why is I had every Izod shirt known to mankind. Every single one. And, of course, back in the day, those things were, like, pricey. They were, like, $25-$30. I mean, those were high-end shirts. They may have been a few dollars more, but not much. And I thought, wow, we must be pretty rich. We must be doing pretty well because every Christmas, every birthday, I'd get new Izod shirts. So it wasn't until years later, and I was at my grandmother's house, and we were visiting, and I needed to get, so I was looking for something in her sewing room. And I noticed that Meemaw, as we called my grandmother, Meemaw had a big old box. And so I was looking and I opened the box and I was shocked. My face turned ashen because inside that box, there must have been 300 little tiny alligators. And it turns out that my grandmother and my mom would go down to the thrift store, the TGY, the cheap store, and buy these cheap polo shirts for like a couple of bucks and then sew the little upside-down alligator on them. And nobody knew the difference. Nobody knew the difference. So all that to say, I mean, I kind of miss those. Those were the good old days. But yeah, I mean, kids are kids, and that was a part of it, you know, the status symbols. And I mean, was it disappointing if you were the person who didn't have the leather Nikes with the blue swoop thing? Yeah, I guess so. But again, I don't know. I see both sides of the argument over whether or not you should have dress codes in schools. But if you're doing it, and if your only reason for doing it is because a child's feelings might get hurt, are you really helping that child in the long run? All right, 901-260-5926. Anybody remember parachute pants? Boy, that was an unfortunate. I never did the parachute pants. I was pretty much a traditionalist. I didn't do the parachute pants or the red leather jackets. But, man, those things were the jam back in the 80s. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. 260-5926. I have to tell you, our good friend, Mike Lindell, and his employees, they want to thank you for supporting MyPillow. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life. And he didn't just stop by creating the best pillow. He actually created the best bed sheets ever, too. Mike offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets, and you can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale sheets are breathable. They have a cool, crisp feel, and they have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great, feel great, and you're going to get an incredible night's sleep. And by the way, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS to get the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Again, that's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS or give them a call, 800-839-8506.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got OG back with us. All right, OG, what was on your mind?
Well, that advertisement, the advertising agency, yo, really blew it. The country's been divided, yo, on all those, you know, marketing lines for years. They should have had three couples, you know, all sizes, shapes, you know, races, and it would have increased their market, and there would have been no blowback.
Let me ask you a question, OG.
Go.
You're looking at the fashion models out there. Do you buy something because of the way a person looks? So if you've got two people, let's say you got a fat person in jeans and you've got a beautiful thin person in jeans, who are you more likely going to be attracted to?
A shallow individual would probably go for the more attractive, but you know what? As you said before, you know, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in our sight, so why in his sight, look past that stuff.
All right, OG, thank you for the call. Parker, you're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head, Parker?
I feel like most people would still take the answer that you've been talking about all day.
Of course they would.
It's like the difference between the American Eagle Sydney Sweeney ad and the Calvin Klein ad we played the other day.
There's a reason I'm not a fashion model, Parker May, and I'm a radio host. There's a reason for that. Now, I would be a great spokes model for, you know, Memphis and May, the World Barbecue Championships. I mean, you see me coming, you're like, you know, that guy, I bet he knows how to smoke a pork butt. You see me walking down the street, that's what I think people are thinking. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. But look, American Eagle, they know. This is why Dylan Mulvaney will no longer be doing a Bud Light thing. And by the way, nobody ever took an issue with that, right? And Dylan Mulvaney was cosplaying a white chick and not a very good looking one either. And look what happened. So that's all I'm saying. But in honesty, you know, we are attracted to what is attractive, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. So look, the New York Times, I want to get the story in before we have to go to break. The New York Slimes, they're just horrible. They're absolutely horrible. So they did this story a few days ago about how the Israelis are starving the Gazan children to death. And it was a horrible, horrible story. There was huge blowback against Israel. Well, it turns out that the child they focused on, the child they featured and profiled, turns out the child is not suffering from malnutrition. The child was suffering from some sort of an illness. So the emaciation had nothing to do with not being fed. And then, to make matters worse, they actually cropped the photo of the child. And had they not cropped the photo of the child, we would have all seen the child's brother, who was very healthy and clearly had not missed a meal. But again, the New York Slimes, ladies and gentlemen, they have an agenda. And by the way, they were forced to correct. I want to read to you what they first wrote. Children in Gaza are malnourished and starving, as New York Times reporters and others have documented. We ran a story about Gaza's most vulnerable civilians, including Mohammed Zakaria Al-Mutwak, who is 18 months old and suffers from severe malnutrition. So that was the story they went with, the photo, the whole nine yards. And so now they've had to come out and acknowledge that it was all wrong. All of it. Now, is that going to get the attention that the original story got? No, of course not. Of course not. My question is, why didn't the reporters were there, why didn't they track down this information while they were there, before they published it? And the reason why is they want to make Israel look bad. Unbelievable. They said, we have since learned new information, including from the hospital that treated the boy and his medical records. Are you telling me you didn't bother to ask for those before you wrote the story, New York Times? We have updated our story to add context about his pre-existing health problems. This additional detail gives readers a greater understanding of the situation. Yes, the situation is you lied. You made it all up. You didn't do your job, your due diligence. And you watch what's going to happen. These idiots are going to end up winning a Pulitzer Prize. It's not unbelievable. It is believable because they do this all the time. Unbelievable. Our reporters and photographers continue to report from Gaza bravely, sensitively, and at personal risk so that readers can get firsthand the consequences of the war. All right, let me explain something here. It was Hamas who went in and declared war on Israel and slaughtered over 1,400 people. That was on Hamas. They took hostages, which, by the way, they are still holding in Gaza. Now, the United States and the world's humanitarian community, we've been sending resources, supplies, and Hamas has been taking those supplies and keeping them from the Gaza people. So whose fault is that? Why is that Israel's fault? It seems to me that, and quite frankly, this war should have been settled a long time ago. And this is the problem with, and no offense here, but the problem with the Trump administration and the problem with the Israelis. They think they can negotiate in good faith with Hamas, and they can't do it. They just can't do it. So this, look, all of this could have been settled a long time ago, and the longer it drags out, the worse it looks for Israel. But Israel's not responsible for any of this. Israel's not responsible. If Israel really was wanting to play hardball, they would not even allow any humanitarian aid to flow into Gaza. But that's not what's happening. So anyway, you need to be aware that the New York Slimes, all of those people, you can't trust them. You cannot trust them. And so now you've got all these stories out there about how the Israelis are starving Gazan children, and it's just simply not true. My recommendation is to give Hamas 24 hours. You either turn over all the hostages and you surrender, or we will just obliterate you. And then help the Gazan people rebuild their country. By the way, what does it say about the Gazan men that they allowed Hamas to do what they did to that area? What does that say? What does that say about the men of Gaza? I mean, you know, ultimately you gotta protect your family. Ultimately, you gotta protect your people, and they're not even doing that. It's a terrible situation, and I just hate it, and you do hate it for the children, but this is not anybody's fault except for Hamas and Gaza. They're the ones. But it just seems to me that the New York Slimes here, they knew what they were doing. They either were negligent in doing their jobs as journalists, or they intentionally, they intentionally painted a picture that they knew not to be true. Either way, I'm just shocked that people haven't been fired over this. I mean, this, and it's not the first time this has happened, but I'm just surprised people haven't lost their jobs over this. And I doubt they will, though. Again, they're probably going to get nominated for a Pulitzer. All right, we've got to take a break here. Don't forget, head over to ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of great info, a lot of great intel for you there. Also, be sure to download our free podcast and our newsletter. You can go back and listen to all 3 hours of the show, commercial-free. Again, that's ToddStearns.com, and you'll be able to get all of those resources. Also, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. If you want to get information on America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, that's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Those are some great folks. You're going to love their wireless coverage, their cell phone coverage. They're good people as well. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. Coming up in just a few moments, we've got a developing story out of Washington involving Cash Patel and the FBI, and Fox News has the exclusive, but Cash Patel found thousands of sensitive Trump-Russia probe documents inside burn bags. Now, these burn bags were located in a secret room at the FBI. All of the documents have now been turned over to the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman. That would be Chuck Grassley. And some of these documents, really shocking stuff, but the whole point is once those documents are in a burn bag, they're supposed to be destroyed. So somebody, it looks like somebody forgot to finish destroying all the evidence. And Fox News is now reporting that according to their sources, some of the documents will lend credibility to the assertion there was a coordinated plan inside the government to help the Clinton campaign stir up controversy by connecting President Trump to Russia. This is all according to sources that are talking exclusively to Fox. So there's a lot more going on here, and we'll get to that in just a few moments. Great to have you with us, though, on hour two of the big show. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to former Congresswoman Myra Flores. Congresswoman, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, and future Congresswoman.
Congressman, yes, my apologies.
Congressman, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the border and how things is. You know, it's really amazing. Tom Homan said he had to shut down his LinkedIn account because he's getting so many people wanting jobs working for Homeland Security.
I'm sorry, say that again. I lost you for a second.
Sure. We understand that Tom Homan, the border czar, had to shut down his LinkedIn account because he's been getting so many inquiries for people wanting to work for Homeland Security.
I love this so much. Absolutely, because they know that they have the backup and they know that they have the support of leadership. That's what matters so much. You know, our Border Patrol agents, our customs agents for so long did not have that support. And now they do, and that's very encouraging, and that's why so many people want to join the Border Patrol, Customs, ICE, because they're able to get the job done now. They're able to enforce the laws. And unfortunately, under the Biden administration, they weren't able to do none of that. And so it took a big toll on them, especially here in South Texas. So it's so good to see our president and Homeland Security, all leadership, supporting our men and women serving this country and doing so much good right now.
Yeah, I know that you are in a border community. So I have to imagine this district this has to be a big issue for the folks living in that congressional district.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a time where we saw 10,000 people in one day cross illegally into our country. And we're not seeing none of that anymore. But I do admit that we do have a secure border, and our Border Patrol agents are able to enforce the laws and focus on the drugs coming in into this country, right? But the cartel has become very desperate. Why? Because they're not making billions of dollars. They're no longer making the billions that they were making under the Biden administration. So the border is safer here in the United States, but it's not in Mexico, if it makes sense. The cartels are having increased kidnapping, killings, rape in Mexico. And the quota, meaning that, you know, small businesses have to pay the cartel. If they don't pay every single month their quota, they will get killed. Just a few days ago, a taxi driver, she was a retired teacher, and then was not making ends meet, started driving a taxi, did not pay her quota, and they killed her, and it was recorded. And it's very sad what's happening in Mexico with the cartel. They have taken full control, especially of the state of Tamaulipas. So, yes, our borders are secure and safer here in the United States, but not right across the border. You know, so it concerns me, and it concerns me because it's right across the border, right? I want Hamas eradicated and ISIS eradicated, but we have a serious problem here with the cartel. They're just as dangerous as Hamas and ISIS. They need to be taken just as serious, and they need to be eradicated, just like Hamas, because they're so close to us.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, we have Myra Flores running for Congress, and I have to tell you, the campaign's looking pretty good for you, especially with what the State House is doing as far as the redistricting.
Oh, absolutely, and it changes everything. You know, I want to serve where my country needs me, but now that the new lines have come, I just saw the new lines today. It changes everything. You know, I ran in Texas 34 when it was a D20, and I won a special election, but unfortunately, due to redistricting, it didn't favor us back in 22. And we lost a re-election by 8 points, but we're supposed to lose that re-election by 20 points. Ran again, fought hard, and lost by only 2 points in 2024. And now with these new lines and redistricting, it gives us hope. It gives us a fair chance. And we're going to win this time in 2026. So I'm very excited. Honestly, today I got on my knees. I thank God for this. For this new lines and this new redistricting, because it gives us here in South Texas a better chance, a fair chance. You know, we didn't want a district drawn for us. No, we just wanted a district that gave us a fair chance, and this district does just that. So I'm very happy with the new lines and that I'm able to stay in Texas 34.
And Congresswoman, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign? Where can they find that info?
In MyraFloresForCongress.com. I have all the information there needed. Of course, there's going to be new changes on the maps, of course, because of the new line. So we're going to be uploading all that information and making that huge announcement in the next few days.
Well, we certainly wish you the very best. Looking forward to having you
back up
on Capitol Hill, Myra.
Oh, amen. I will. I trust God, and I trust the work that we've put in for so many years in South Texas, and it's all coming together.
I'm loving that. All right, former Congresswoman Myra Flores, ladies and gentlemen, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and no doubt I think it's going to be a good election cycle for her in the midterms. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. there is something really remarkable happening in North Carolina. The immigration veto of the governor was overruled by North Carolina Republicans in the state house, but they had a little help from a Democrat, a single House Democrat. She joined the Republicans to override the governor's veto of an immigration bill. Now, the new law requires North Carolina sheriffs to work closer with ICE agents and the president's mass deportation effort. State Representative Carla Cunningham from Mecklenburg, she's the Democrat, she crossed party lines and resulted in a 72-48 vote in the House. But what she said just blew everyone away. And it was, we're gonna play her remarks because what she said was so absolutely powerful. And this is coming from a Black Democrat. And you need to understand that so you'll understand the context of where she's coming from. Cut number 10, please.
Today is a new day. But I'd like to take a moment to reintroduce myself to each of you. I am ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves. I am a Black American, and I am an American. I'm going to present my case in support of House Bill 318, as it is time for my unapologetic truth to be shared with all of you. First, as a people, we need to recognize that it's not just the numbers that matter, but also where the immigrants come from and the culture they bring with them to another country. As a social scientist report, all cultures are not equal.
Uh-oh.
Some immigrants come and believe they can function in isolation, refusing to adapt. They have come to our country for many reasons, but I suggest they must assimilate. Adapt to the culture of the country they wish to live in. No country is going to allow people to come in and not acknowledge its constitution, legal systems, and laws. They will not tolerate it. So do you think I can go to another country and set up my own rules to live by, use the language I choose, and then tell that country that you must speak my language? That's not going to happen, nor should it.
Wow. I mean, she was dropping truth bombs there, and she's right. You know, all cultures are not equal. There's a reason why we are the most exceptional nation on the planet. Cut number 11, please.
As a country, the United States has been more tolerant than most other countries. Other countries are making it much more difficult to get citizenship. We have been naive. We have been exploited and abused by the different tactics to gain citizenship in America. It's time to wake up. Global migration in the past was not projected to be as it is today. We must establish new rules to address a distinct type of migration that we are facing in our country, state, and cities. It's time to turn the conveyor belt off and adopt a global migration suitable for the times that we're in. And that is not destabilizing our communities.
Wow. So we're going to play some more of this in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. But let me say this. People began to erupt and heckle her. This is a Democrat. And what Representative Cunningham from Mecklenburg, North Carolina, is saying here is that we're being replaced. I mean, that's ultimately what's happening here, which is why there were so many people that were allowed, tens of millions of people were allowed to invade our country. It was so that we would be replaced. And she's pointing all of this out. I'll tell you who else figured this out. It was all of the folks over in Chicago's South Side. They figured this out very quickly. So folks are waking up and they're beginning to realize, wait a second, what is the Democrat Party doing here? Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to go right away to the remainder of North Carolina State Representative Cunningham's remarks. This is the Democrat who sided with Republicans to stand up to the Democrat governor. Cut number 12, please.
A large number of people entering a country can change it forever. In conclusion, let me share with you all what happens when a woman lawmaker like myself choose to move differently. Yes, I was degraded for my vote. Yes, I was called racist for my vote. And yes, I was said I was trash. However, I figured it out. They want me to stop elevating my ancestors' history. They want me to be silent in my country. They want me to line up behind their priorities while my people and communities continue to struggle in our country. Mr. Speaker.
Lady will suspend momentarily. Members, it's not a kindergarten class. I look up and I see full-grown adults, many of you senior citizens, and you're clearly trying to make noise like a young child might when they're having to sit in a classroom and listen. So please, you're not doing anything by making these noises. And the Sergeant-at-Arms sees the lady who just was making the noise. The Sergeant-at-Arms has the chair's direction to go ahead and remove the lady. Again, folks, please, we're allowing folks on both sides of this issue to speak. If you want to come down here and debate, go run for public office. Thank you. Lady continues to have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I was saying, they want me to line up behind their priorities while my people and communities continue to struggle in our country. Is this not your country? This is my country. With the good and the not so good, this is my country, tears of thee. Now, sweet if you want to adapt to my country, not isolate yourself, and come here legally, I welcome you. But today, I am telling you, I am not going to be silenced by those who disagree with my ideology on the issue at hand. Because
Speaker,
the blood of my ancestors.
Mr. Speaker.
1 second, Representative Cunningham. For what purpose is the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler?
I feel like we're getting into personal territory and maligning the character of the members of this body.
I think the lady is speaking to the personal attacks that she received from folks outside of this body, unless I misheard what she said. And the lady is correct that it's not appropriate to talk about personal attacks of members of the body. Again, I understand her to be saying some personal things that she received from outside.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in that case, I would move the previous question.
Okay. Lady's not recognized for motion. Representative Cunningham, lady continues to have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. See, it was my ancestors who came over as slaves, built this country with a strain on their backs. They sweat pouring from their bodies in the rice fields, the cotton fields, and the tobacco farms for this country. Lived as servants and was the footstool for far too many feet to step on. So today, if you ask me to line up behind another group of people to raise awareness about their plight, I unapologetically say no. Mr. Speaker and colleagues, please accept my remarks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Well, wow, good for you, Representative Cunningham. We are working on trying to get her to come on the program. That's State Representative Carla Cunningham from North Carolina. And I'm sure that we pretty much disagree on just about everything, but certainly not on immigration, because she gets it. All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, going to the phones, 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. And don't forget to head over to Amazon, folks, and get yourself a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, my latest book. You are going to love it. The reviews off the charts, and you'll be able to read a lot of them over on Amazon. We'll be right back, everybody. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There is a TikTok video that's gone viral, and this fella just got out of college, and he can't find a job. And his name is Nico Alter. He is a musician, and he's really depressed because he says he's never going to be able to afford a house in America and won't be able to afford kids. And thousands of people are weighing in on his comments. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
My experience since graduating college has been an absolute slap in the face. And I did everything right. I networked, I applied online. The only interviews I got were for MLM companies where in the interview you realize it's nothing like the job description. You're actually going to just be a door-to-door salesman selling mobile phones. Nobody's buying a mobile phone off a guy knocking on your door. No That's shot,
true.
Dude.
That's true.
Are you kidding me? So what do? I get to the point where I just need income. I get a cafe job. Guess what? The cafe is stealing tips from the baristas and giving it to management and the owners. How do we find out? We added up all our tips, all the baristas, for a single month, and it was nowhere near what the POS said it should be. So what do? We file with the DLSE, Department of Labor Standards Enforcement, and a couple weeks go by, I give them a call. I'm like, hey, what's up? We just filed with you. Turns out there's a backlog of 2 years! 2 years, bro! Like, wow. What? There's nothing you can do, bro, in 2 years until they even just look at your case. They're not even looking at it, let alone taking action for 2 years. You can just get stolen from. You can just get stolen from. And for what? Because I will never afford a house. I will never afford kids in this country. Like, what are we doing? And like, only thing keeping me here is my friends and family. And I'm giving this like one more year. You know, I'm trying to pivot. I'm going to get my EMT certification, get on the statewide eligibility list to become a firefighter. Something that I probably should have looked at before I got, you know, paid tens of thousands of dollars to go to college.
You think? Yeah. So, I mean, I feel bad for anybody that's in a situation like this. The poor guy, I would say he's got to be in his early 20s, maybe 22, 23 years old. There, just a couple of observations. First of all, we don't know what state he lives in, but if he's in California, he's screwed. There's no way he's going to be able to make it. And by the way, he's a musician. And no offense, but that's kind of a hard career path. And you're not going to make a lot of money initially. And sometimes you're never going to make a lot of money because, you know, you're a musician. Oh, especially if you're a drummer. I'm just kidding. It's a musician's joke. But again, what kind of advice do you give these people? People are freaking out over this. And they're saying this is why people like Zohran Mamdani and is making communism sound so appealing. The kid actually hashtagged it with capitalism. So there is growing unrest, they say, within Generation Z. And we talked about this about Charlie Kirk, and Charlie Kirk saying that that Generation Z has it worse off than that generation that grew up at the same age during the Great Depression. And a lot of you folks phoned in at the time and said that Charlie was way off the mark there. That it was really bad, really bad in the Great Depression. Here we're talking about, and by the way, and I mean no disrespect to this young man. No doubt about it. He's dealing with some things. But first of all, there are just a couple of observations. Guy, incredibly well-dressed. He's looks like he's in a fairly brand new car, fairly new car. He's clearly, you know, got a nice smartphone. He's posting videos. That's what, hundreds of dollars, rather. So my question would be, okay, if you you say you're never going to have enough money to buy a house. Okay, well, you're 20-something years old. It may take a little time to save up for the down payment. But you have to kind of do that, right? They're just not going to give you a house, which is why Zohran Mamdani in New York City is now becoming so attractive, because he's offering all these young people, hey, you elect me, we're going to give you a house. We're going to take money away from the rich white guys, and we're going to give you that money. We're going to give you free food. We're going to take over the grocery stores. And if you're somebody like this kid who is, he says he's at the end of his rope, dude, you're only 23 years old. And hate to say it, but you know what? Maybe you should not have gone to college. Maybe, just maybe, you could have been a musician. You could have gone out there and gotten another job, because there are a lot of jobs that pay a lot of money. And I'm talking about you've got plumbing, you've got HVAC, construction workers. Some of those guys are making over $100,000 a year, and they are in their early to mid-20s. They're making good money. So I know my dad wanted to be a musician. That was kind of his dream. And my grandparents back in the 1950s said, you're not doing that. We're not paying for you to go to school to be a musician. So my dad rebelled. He joined the Air Force. When he got out of the Air Force, he became an electrician. And you know what he did? My dad went to his day job, and at nighttime, he played the clubs in Memphis. Dad was a studio musician. And he was, got to meet a lot of artists in and around Memphis. He never made it to the big leagues, but he loved what he did. But he had to provide for his family, so he had a day job. But I hate it. Somebody said, I wonder what this guy's major is. My daughter got out of school, got her master's in January, took a month off, took a part-time job in her field for $60 an hour, for 30 hours a week, and just accepted another position full-time for $60 an hour. She's going to keep her part-time job and work on Sundays. She'll probably come close to earning $150,000 this year. When you get a useful major, you can do anything. And it's a fair point. And again, if you're going to be a barista, there's nothing wrong with being a barista, but you're not going to make that much money. You know, it may not be enough to cover your bills, so maybe you have to take a second job. You got to get creative. One guy says, when I was 18, I started out in IT making minimum wage, living in a closet, and was able to afford a house by 30. I skipped college. My wife and I make a combined $80,000 per year, probably $50,000 or $60,000 after taxes, and we have three kids. Another person said, get yourself over to a recruiting station and explore military options. And again, that's an op. You know what? That's a great idea. So I'm just curious, what advice would you give this young man? He's clearly distraught. What would you tell him? 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phones. Eric is in Toccoa, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Eric. What would you tell this young guy?
Hey, Todd, love your show. My suggestion would be, he's young enough to still join the military. Join the military, do 4 years, serve your country, live in the barracks, stack cash, get out, go to school on the GI Bill to a trade school, get an electrician, HVAC, or welder's job. You can make 80 to 100 grand straight out and live your life. You'll be living the American dream debt-free.
Eric, I think that's a great idea, and I feel for these kids because they've been sold a bill of goods. They've been told, "Oh, you gotta go to college, and if you can't afford it, you got to take out loans." And now a lot of these kids are really in a bad fix.
Yeah, that's what we told our kids. You can go to work, go to school, join the military, and they all join the military, and they all have blue-collar jobs, making more money than mom and dad, and they're doing great, and I'm very proud of them. And the kids that understand that and the parents that push that, really see benefits in it. So, It's easy to make it in this country if you really want to try.
Oh, absolutely. 1,000% right, Eric. Well, I sure do appreciate you calling in, and it is terrific advice. Thank you for that. Lee writes in and says, I felt the exact same way 25 years ago when I graduated high school and was going to college. The only difference, I didn't, B-word and whine about it on the internet. I realized college was a financial trap, got a real job that I made a career out of. Now I own a house, an RV, two vehicles, and I'm relatively secure financially. It's called hard work. Let's go to Stephen in Orange County, California. Hi, Stephen. What advice would you give this young man?
Okay, I was in a meeting, like a Zoomaroo, and then I heard just enough to know that there are four letters that this kid needs to consider. USMC. I don't know who he is or what he looks like, if he's up for it, but sounds like he needs a trip to boot.
Yeah, you know, and again, the military, I mean, and especially if he's a really good musician, they can plug him into one of the military bands. I mean, he could end up having a career out of all of that.
He could wind up being, you know, 30 years from now, people are listening to him on Apple Music for the U.S. Marine Corps band, right, on the recordings. Yeah, they're top-notch class act.
You never know, Stephen. Again, it is a great idea, and I know a lot of people are joining up. A lot of people are joining ICE, by the way, Tom Homan, we talked about earlier. Stephen, thank you for the call, and thank you for suggestion. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. What advice would you give this young man? He's at the end of his rope, doesn't know what to do. We'll be right back. All right, folks, don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show. We have a great lineup for you, including our good buddy Josh Jones is going to drop by. By the way, Newsmax went public on the New York Stock Exchange, which is huge. Millions of people across the fruited plain are joining our news revolution, which is why we are now the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. Reuters calling us one of the top news brands in America. And look, you can't go wrong when 40 million Americans are now going to Newsmax for shows like The Todd Stern Show. So download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It is absolutely free. You can start watching today. And you can also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. How do you do that? Well, you go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, let's get back to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, Jackson, Tennessee. James listening to us on the great WTJS. Hi, James. What's going on?
Not a whole lot, just living life as it's supposed to be. But basically for this young gentleman, I would suggest him doing a career assessment test, something like the Dayton test, where they can give you a series of questions, which you'd rather do, A or B, and they just narrow it down and come up with something that he might be really talented at, really be interested in, but not be aware of it. The other thing is, I like his attitude to barista. You take what job you can. I've been around a while, lived in 5 states, and I'd add them all up, and I've had 40 jobs in my life.
Wow.
Sometimes 3 at once because I had bills to pay. And it took chances on working places that might have been kind of questionable, not ethically, but, you know, safety-wise or whatever. But like I said, you got a bill to pay. And doing okay now. We're up here, moved into Jackson recently because of the grandbabies. You know how that works. But life is good, and just keep on doing what you have to do. And some things were not anywhere near what I tested out to be. But at the same time, what I found out with those true talents were, I was able to use that as a enhancement and a backstop to whatever it is I did.
You see, good for you, James, and what a great attitude. And I mean, I'm with you. I appreciate the fact that the kid's working. You know, he's got a job as a barista. But the reality is that sometimes you got to have 2 or 3 jobs. And when you're young like that, you have the ability to do that. So, you know, the days, my advice to anybody we hire coming out of college is, you know what? College is over. The 24-hour partying, you know, you've got to start focusing on being an adult and, you know, adulting, as the young people call it.
If push comes to shove, you get broken down the middle of nowhere, which I have. You go to the nearest labor pool, you know, manpower, whatever. You got to show up there probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to beat some of the other guys that show up at 5 or 6. And you go out, you might be digging ditches or doing whatever, but you got enough at the end of the day that you can have yourself a meal.
That's it. James, thank you for the call. Thank you for the advice. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. That's good advice. I mean, yeah, you hate it for these young people, but, you know, they're going to learn. And honestly, if you and it's hard for them to see this right now, but the policies that President Trump is putting in place, it's going to revolutionize this country. It truly is going to revolutionize what's happening in this country. I want to play some audio here. Let's go to cut number three. This is Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota. And he has just signed into law a driver's license bill. It's going to allow every illegal in the state to get a driver's license. Take a listen.
Governor Tim Walz signed the Driver's License for All bill into law. This will allow all Minnesotans to get a driver's license regardless of immigration status.
Instead of actually changing the politician, what they actually do is they just want to change the voter. And by allowing illegal immigrants to have an ID, that's flat out un-American. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to flood our market with all these illegal voters, given what we've seen over the course of the past year with their inability to have free and fair elections. And it's just going to be their response to it. To allow millions of people to have an ID, and quite frankly, to the tax-paying American and the everyday American, this is absolutely disgusting, outrageous. Because these tone-deaf policies are what the world are watching right now. They aren't listening, and quite frankly, we're fed up with it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, and I hope more people are getting fed up with it. Somebody wrote this on X. Have you ever noticed how 99% of Democrat-run states and cities are absolute dumpster fires. Trying to clean up the language here. Complete dumpster fires. They protect illegals, homelessness out of control, sky-high taxes, crime through the roof. Meanwhile, Republican-controlled places have low taxes and low crime. It's simple. Your vote decides if you want to live in a blanked-up hellhole or not. Choose wisely. Yeah. Yes, it's 1,000% accurate. Who you vote for does play a massive role in all of that. To that point, you folks in Tennessee, we'll touch on this coming up in the next hour. It turns out Pete Hegseth may possibly want to be your next governor. You know, Hegseth moved to Tennessee. He and his wife own a farm near Nashville. And so Hegseth is talking about possibly jumping into the race. You've got Senator Marsha Blackburn, who may be jumping into the race, and Congressman John Rose, who's got millions of dollars already raised. He's already thrown his hat into the ring. So that could be one interesting Republican primary. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today. Someone sent me an item just the other day, and I haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, and It's a really positive story, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So our friends over at CBN News, that's the Christian Broadcasting News Network, CBN, the old 700 Club with the late, great Pat Robertson. Anyway, they did a story about Vacation Bible School. And, you know, we have a Vacation Bible School in at the church I attend, and I do not volunteer. I'm not a big VBS kind of a guy. They I always play the heart card. Yeah, would love to do it, but I got a bad ticker, so, you know, don't want to be, you know, I don't want to keel over. That would not be good, unless arts and crafts is like learning CPR. But anyway, I digress. But a lot of churches around the country do Vacation Bible School. Does your church still do Vacation Bible School? And, you know, it's really a popular thing among churches across the country. Well, according to this article, it's exploding in popularity again. And one of the largest providers of Vacation Bible School material happens to be Lifeway Christian Resources, which is the Southern Baptist Convention's old publishing house. They used to call it the Baptist Sunday School Board. Are you ready for this? Nearly 3 million kids attended Vacation Bible School at just the Southern Baptist churches over the summer. And so far, some 70,000 children have made a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, this is really remarkable. When you when we talk about this revival that we are watching, this really, I don't know if it's, I don't want to overstep here and say it's a great awakening, but I think people are waking up to the wokeness that has infected our country, and people are looking for a new way, a new path forward. And so Vacation Bible School is one of the things that we did as kids. You know, I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, so we had RAs, which are kind of like the Christian, this is, just bear with me here, it's sort of like the Christian version of Boy Scouts. We would call ourselves Royal Ambassadors, and then you had GAs, which were the girls. And, you know, there were always activities in our church, and we could not wait till Vacation Bible School because there was always a theme. Whether it was, Parker, did you, I mean, you grew up going to church. Did you guys have Vacation Bible School?
We did. It was a staple every summer.
Oh, yeah? Did you, what was your favorite part of Vacation Bible School?
My church would always do like a skit.
Oh.
So we had two types of skits, where like all the different employees would do a skit, and then we'd have one guy who did a puppet show.
You got to have puppets.
Got to.
You got to have puppets. And they're always singing something.
Absolutely.
So do you guys, in your church, do you guys do themes like, you know, cowboys or space?
Yes. Sometimes it's like something like that, or it's based on like a certain story in the Bible.
Yeah.
So I think this year they did it based on Jonah and the whale.
It was a fish theme.
Yes.
I wonder if they had like mermaids and stuff.
We had goldfish for snacks.
Mermen. Simple. Oh, gold. You see, it's the snacks.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys serve goldfish. You must go to a highfalutin church. I will say this about the Baptist church. When I was a kid, and by the way, I loved, you had the theme, you got arts and crafts, you've got the singing, and everybody has to do the choreography. I was horrible at choreography. My denomination, we don't do choreography very well. And we say that it's, so what we do is we say, oh, dancing's a sin. It's really not a sin. We just can't dance well. So that's why. Someone said, what about Baptists? Do you guys drink? I tell people, only in the next county over. That's it. There's a great place in Oxford, Mississippi. I'm getting so far off course here. There's a great place in Oxford, Mississippi, home of the University of Mississippi. And they have a little back room. And I was asking the waitress, I said, what's that? There's a beautiful velvet rope or curtain that basically shielded whatever was going in the room. I said, oh, what's that room back there? She said, that's where the Baptists drink their margaritas. And I'm like, oh, well, that's very thoughtful. So anyway, arts and crafts, lots of recreation. Parker, you'll appreciate this. I got put in charge of, years ago, before my heart surgery, I got put in charge of recreation. And it was going to be flag football. I learned an important lesson. You don't want to let kids play flag football on a gravel lot. There were a lot of injuries.
I could imagine.
I never had to do that again, though. So there you go. When I was a kid, though, I got to double dip, and I don't know if any of you guys are like this, but I went to we had the Baptist Vacation Bible School. Then my grandparents in Whitehaven, Tennessee, I would always go to the Whitehaven United Methodist Church Vacation Bible School. It's right off there. It's at Elvis Presley Boulevard. And we had so much fun. And I'm just going to say this, and I may get excommunicated from the Southern Baptist Convention for saying this, but I remember as a child, the Methodist had much better snacks. Baptist, we kind of skimped on the snacks. So I don't remember, we had the off-brand everything. So we wouldn't be serving goldfish. We'd have like minnows. It's terrible. We went to Methodist Vacation Bible School. They had the freaking double stuff Oreos. And I'm like, what the heck? And it wasn't like watered down Kool-Aid in like one of the, one of the Lord's Supper cups. It was like a Dixie cup. We got a Dixie cup and it was full of like Tropicana fruit juice. I'm like, I like these people. I almost changed denominations because of the snacks they served at the United Methodist Church on Vacation Bible School. Anyway, I'm just curious, have you guys seen an increase in Vacation Bible School attendance? Are you seeing younger families joining your church? I will say this, even at the church I attend, I have noticed more young families are joining or walking down the aisle. They're joining the church. They're getting involved. I think something is really good happening here. Something very good is happening in this country, and I just love it. I will say this, Baptist, we've got to step up our game on the snacks. We got to do it. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Okay, we have, ladies and gentlemen, a Jasmine Crockett update.
Shuck it! Shuck it and jiving.
Ow! Good God! All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jasmine Crockett, the Congress chick from Texas, and she's very upset. She believed that she should have been the ranking member on House Oversight because of her social media followers. I'm not making this up. Also, she's got a problem with all of you good people in Texas, and I know we have a lot of Texas listeners, and I'm going to be relying on your intel on this, but here's Jasmine Crockett explaining what exactly is wrong with the good people of the Lone Star State. Take a listen.
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory. And so I want y'all to understand the makeup of my state.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, can we play that one more time?
Texas has always been found to be intentionally discriminatory. And so I want y'all to understand the makeup of my state.
All right, don't be shucking and jiving now. Don't be shucking and jiving, Jasmine. Come on now. I mean, these are the people that elected you, ma'am. So what does that say about the people that elected you to office? I mean, that's insane. Ladies and gentlemen, have you found the beautiful state, the good people of Texas, to be discriminatory? I'm just shocked by this. So anyway, Jasmine Crockett not doing well. There are rumblings. She may even try to run for the Senate out of Texas, and I say go for it. Yes, you should definitely do that, ma'am. Definitely do that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. I am curious about your vacation Bible schools, your VBS. What a great, great thing that churches are doing all across America. And I suspect it's not just the Baptists and the Methodists, but you got the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals and all sorts of folks doing stuff. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Some of the crazy stuff we're going to be doing over the next couple of days. Next week, we have the, I'll be speaking at the, what is it, next weekend at the Gun Owners of America Convention. That's going to be in Knoxville, and we're going to have a lot of fun there. I can't wait to see so many of our great friends. I believe are the crew from Patriot Talk 920 may be even coming up from Houston. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to do that. Also, we're going to be broadcasting for 2 days. It's 2 days, Parker. Is that right?
Yes, Thursday and Friday.
2 days from the FedEx St. Jude Classic. And we're talking about the top, 70 golfers in the world are going to be here in the Memphis area.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting tournament.
It's a lot of fun. You know, it's funny. I haven't been. I know we've sent you multiple times. What's it like? What's the vibe like?
It's really impressive because there's no cut. So typical golf tournaments will have a cut after Friday to where it's the top half of the field. But with the top 70 golfers, you get to watch them all 4 days. So it's really cool. You get a really up-close experience watching the top 70 for a whole week.
And how's the, you know, they've got the hospital. We're going to be, what, at the hospitality suite broadcasting live?
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting the show live on the 18th fairway inside a hospitality room. It's going to be very nice.
This is going to be fun. This is like what Rush Limbaugh would have done. Rush would have loved this. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, and we're going to be interviewing, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to any golfers, but we're talking to a lot of folks involved with the tournament. And this thing, it generates about $100 million for Memphis. So this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it's great for the city, and it's continued to get even bigger throughout the years. It started many years ago. It's just a small event right before the U.S. Open, and now in 2023 became a FedEx Cup playoff event.
And I haven't told you what we're doing after this, but we're also doing Elvis Week, and we're going to be broadcasting from Graceland.
That'll be awesome.
So we're getting you like a bedazzled, you know, jumpsuit, maybe some sideburns, or if you can grow some sideburns between now and then. It's either you or Dylan or Cassie.
Cassie or Dylan could definitely pull that off.
You never know. So all that to say, it's always fun when we can go on the road, but we're doing some really weird road trips. Graceland, we're doing the Gun Owners of America convention, and then the FedEx St. Jude Classic. And we may be doing a trip to Nashville as well. So we'll keep you updated on our comings and goings. Let's go to the phones. Jeff, listening to us in Texas on Patriot Talk 920. Jeff, you heard what the congresswoman said about you fine people.
I did, and I completely disagree with her analogy of the state of Texas. Texas is not a racist state. Now, the thing about Texas is we don't like low-life scumbags. So if you feel out of place in Texas, there's probably a reason for that.
That's a good point. You just cut right to the chase there, Jeff.
Well, no. Most of us beat around the bush here. If you want to know what we're thinking, just ask.
You see, you're absolutely right about that. And I mean, and it's the same, you know, here in the Mid-South and the South. And I know that some of our staff, they live up in the Midwest, and the Midwest kind of has that same ideology that you guys have, Jeff, because here in the South, we never want to offend anybody. So, you know, we'll go out of our way to, you know, be nice and cheerful and say bless your heart and all that kind of stuff. But you folks in Texas, you just speak your piece.
Yeah, I don't mind stepping on somebody's toes.
Yeah, I believe that. How do you like Patriot Talk 920? That's an exciting radio station you guys have down there.
I love it.
Well, I know Matt Velasquez and the whole team, they're just working their butts off for you guys. And it's tough, you know, Houston's a big town and you got the big corporate talkers. But it's nice to be able to have a radio station that's locally owned, locally run, and, you know, folks can say what's on their mind, to your point.
Exactly.
All right.
And we need a lot more of that. A lot more of that.
Yes, we do, my friend. Yes, we do. All right. Jeff, thank you for that call, and thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. It's really insane that Jasmine Crockett, but she doesn't care. She really doesn't care, and she feels like she's entitled. She feels like that you guys should bow down and worship her, and I'm just not sure that's going to fly across the state of Texas. I really don't. I really don't. Oh, by the way, the police chief in Cincinnati, so they finally arrested some people. They let one guy out on like $40 bond. Unbelievable. So now the police chief, she's out there, and she's blaming everybody except the people who actually attacked the white people. Cut number 8, please.
Another topic I want to cover real quick. Social media and journalism and the role it plays in this incident. And yes, guys, that's you. That is you. Social media, the posts that we've seen, does not depict the entire incident. That is one version of what occurred. At times, social media and mainstream media and their commentaries are a misrepresentation of the circumstances surrounding any given event. What that does, that causes us some difficulties in thoroughly investigating the activity and enforcing the law. Because what happens, that social media post and your coverage of it distorts the content of what actually happened. And it makes our job more difficult. Go ahead, right here.
Thank you. Two questions. Where were the nearest officers?
In the central business section. They were working. They were both in vehicles. And like I said, they had to maneuver through the traffic.
My second question is, you had said social media and news media distorted the content of what actually happened. What exactly was distorted? I understand that there was one, you know, multiple views of the video, mm-hmm. but exactly what led up to this? I mean, what was distorted?
Yeah, so I think by the irresponsibility with social media is it just shows one side of the equation quite frequently without context.
Okay,
without
let me stop
factual
here. What exactly,
context.
What is she talking about? What are we talking about context? Is there a scenario where it's okay, it's permissible to do what those people did to those white tourists? Is there some sort of a law on the books that if you say X, Y, or Z, you can lose your life and that's a justified homicide? Is that what the police chief is saying? This lady's messed up. And by the way, she is facing a major lawsuit from her own department. You have white officers who are alleging that she passed over very well-qualified white men to hire minorities and women. So something's not right there. And for her to come out, and she was enraged at the media. She was enraged at people like us. Our good buddy Bill Cunningham, we're going to play some audio from Bill. He was back on Newsmax last night, my Newsmax show, talking about all the latest stuff here. People are really fired up in Cincinnati. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. We had Senator Marsha Blackburn on, you know, the show yesterday. It's really interesting. There is a major gubernatorial race shaping up for 2026, and it's going to be fascinating to watch this play out. The Governor Bill Lee is term limited, and he's out. So the question is, who will be the next governor of the state of Tennessee? Whoever it is will be the Republican. So whoever wins the Republican primary will pretty much be the governor. You've got Congressman John Rose, who is a multimillionaire many, many times over, and he is already, his war chest is over $5 million. It's really remarkable. And Congressman Rose, you've got Senator Marsha Blackburn, who may or may not run, but I think she is going to run. And then yesterday, word came out that Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, may be thinking about leaving the Pentagon and running for governor in Tennessee. So he and his wife had moved from New York or Connecticut. They moved here in the Nashville area. And the reporting is from multiple news outlets that he may be interested in running. Now, I reached out to some pretty well-placed people I know, and they're saying that's not accurate, that Hegseth is not going to run. But what if he does? Would you like to see Hegseth stay at the Pentagon, or would you like to see him throw his hat into politics and maybe run to be the next governor of the great state of Tennessee? You know, the other issue there is we've had a lot of people, and I know you folks in the Carolinas are dealing with this, and you folks in Texas are as well. We're getting a lot of people moving in from other states. We call them carpetbaggers. I know that may be inappropriate, but that's what we, you know, they're carpetbaggers. So they move here, and then the next thing you know, they're running for office. And you're like, wait, what? You just got here, right? You don't know us. You don't know our way of life in Tennessee. I mean, you got to settle down and, you know. But again, that's the way things are these days. So anyway, Blackburn is, I believe, going to be the odds-on favorite. She has the name recognition, and I think that she could, I mean, if she decides to run, I believe the nomination is hers. But I will say this about Congressman John Rose. He's working his butt off. The problem he's got is name recognition. And so they really have to step, the campaign and really has to step it up here. If they're going to have a fighting chance, they're just going to have to do that. And then if Hegseth gets into the race, this could get really interesting. All right. So anyway, we had a conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn. She is really upset at universities here in Tennessee that are finding ways to avoid obeying President Trump's DEI executive order. Let's take a listen.
Well, joining now is Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, good to have you with us. This is just mind-boggling here. Just mind-boggling. We've got leaked video showing these university DEI officials admitting they're just, what, renaming the programs? That they really think that's gonna do it? We're snookered?
Well, these individuals seem to think that. And I will say this. We've got great universities in Tennessee. We appreciate the great work that they do in research and the wonderful opportunities they open for thousands of students. So we appreciate that. We also appreciate that they all are saying they're trying to comply with state and federal law. Where they've had a hiccup is in these videos that an undercover journalist carried out. You've got Vanderbilt, Belmont, and UT. And individuals were saying they were doing DEI, but they were doing it under a different name. So these universities are going through audits with external auditors and going through their programs and making certain that they are, their policies are in alignment with state and federal law. Then you also have the universities that are retraining faculty and staff to make certain that they understand that there is to be no implementation of DEI policies, anti-Semitic policies on their campuses.
Right. Now, you've sent letters, I understand, to three schools,
yes.
Vanderbilt, UT Knoxville, and Belmont. What did you tell those schools?
Yeah, and you know, what we want to know is specifically what their policy is, specifically how they are working with faculty and staff to make certain that the policy is being abided by, making certain that they have rooted out DEI programs and that there is an understanding from faculty that this can't be shifted over to some other program and then do the wink, wink, nod, nod, and move forward with implementing these DEI principles. And, of course, DEI was pushed, pardon me, by the Biden Department of Education. And you had enrollment and hiring practices that were centered on that. And President Trump's executive order removed that. And the universities have to offer equal access and equal opportunity for all their students. So the letter asks for clarification on this. And then also, we want to know what steps, and we'll be following up with them, what steps are they taking if there is found to still be an inclusion, or these individuals that are going around university policy and trying to implement this. What are they doing to make certain that they cannot, will not be able to implement those policies?
Now, Senator, I'm really intrigued by this bill you're co-sponsoring that is going to strip the National Education Association's federal charter. What, in essence, will that do, and what's your message to the nation's largest teachers union?
The message to that teachers union is this. If you're going to have a convention and be ranting and raving on the stage and speaking against the president, the Congress, the government, and if you're going to continue to push DEI and CRT, and you are the only federally chartered union, then we are going to move forward with pulling that charter. And then if you want to go on off and be a 501c3, you can go do that, but you are not going to spend taxpayer dollars on it.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I know a lot of people are applauding you across the Newsmax Nation right now. Real quick before we let you go, how are things going on the confirmation of the nominees? I know that's been a frustrating thing for a lot of folks.
Well, we've said we'll stay here all of August, and the Democrats need to work with us on getting these nominees confirmed. We are continuing to push to try to get them. We've got 55 nominees. 55 of the 140 came out of their committees with bipartisan votes. Every one of those needs to be given a vote on the floor. We need to start to move them in blocks. And we are encouraging Leader Thune to do that. You know, we have Votorama on spending bills. I said we need to have a Nomorama on the floor and get these nominees confirmed.
I like that. Nomorama. All right. Senator Marsha Blackburn,
bring
always
it
good
on.
To see you.
Good to see you.
Well, I got some fan mail. I don't understand this. I'm going to read it to you. Anyway, I got an email from Sue. And Sue says, Todd, on July 29th, 2025, on the radio, I heard you make fun of someone. Wait, did I really? I don't do that, do I? Oh, I just kind of tell it like it is, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. She said, I heard you make fun of someone who said the proof is in the pudding. Wait, did I really say that? Did I really make fun of someone who said the proof is in the pudding? I love pudding. I love pudding pops. Not so much after the Bill Cosby thing, but many of us of a certain age used to enjoy pudding pops. Pardon me. I continue. She says, you made fun of someone who said the proof is in the pudding. I got the impression from you that you've never heard that phrase and don't know what it means. I know what it means, Sue. It's a colloquialism. I hate that word. It's very difficult to say. And I'm probably going to get another email saying, you don't know how to say colloquialism. Oh, I just said it right. Can we clip that, Parker? I may need that for a reference. Thank you. So then she provides a link to the Merriam-Webster dictionary with intel on what proof in the pudding is. She says, generally, the expression is used to say that the real worth success. I know what it means. And the pudding is not what we have today. It was a mixture of. What is she talking about here? All right, pardon me. Let me continue. Generally, the expression is used to say that the real worth, success, or effectiveness of something can only be determined by putting it to the test by trying it or using it. Appearances and promises aside, just as the best test of a pudding is to eat it. Yes. And the pudding is not what we have today. It was a mixture of meat in the 14th century. Which could be good or awful, especially if it's gone bad, rancid, spoiled. I've lost my appetite for pudding now. Don't make fun of people when they say real expressions. Educate yourself. Don't just be full of degrading, ignorant judgments. Only God can judge. And never say, gone way off the reservation. Wait, what? What is she talking about? And we were talking about pudding, and now we're talking about reservations. No, Sue, I think you have gone far off the reservation, ma'am. Did I really make fun of? That just sounds odd. I don't think I would. I don't think I would do something like that. But I don't know. Maybe I did. I don't remember. Thank you, Sue. Oh, Lord. All right. So yesterday we had Bill Cunningham on the Newsmax show, along with the brother-in-law, the half-brother of the vice president, J.D. Vance, who is a pastor who is running to be the next mayor of Cincinnati. Let's take a listen.
Guys, good to have you with us. J.D., I want to start with you. It seems like, and again, according to the police chief here, the problem is all of us talking about this.
Well, I look at it this way. The powers that be in Cincinnati have now come together as one and said, we got a major problem, which is video of an incident instead of the incident itself. Today, I had on the radio Vivek Ramaswamy. As you know, he's running for the governorship. And he is saying what we need on the streets of Cincinnati. Here's something startling. More police. In fact, it was announced today, yesterday, by the chief, who's well-intended. She's a nice lady. And she said that basically the problem was the video, and the command center went down at 2 a.m. in the morning. By the way, as Corey knows, the bars let out at 2:30 in the morning, tens of thousands of people downtown. So they pulled back the police protection. Guess what? A half an hour before the bars closed, and one hour before the incident took place. So there was no police. And so the powers that be, Governor DeWine, Vivek Ramaswamy, I hope Corey, if he's elected mayor, I pray to God he will be, will actually have the police on duty until maybe an hour after the bars close. But believe me, the problem was not the video cam. The problem was a mob who targeted individuals and appear based upon race. That's the problem. But don't pin the tail on the donkey. Find somebody else to blame other than the inadequacies and the incompetence of city leadership. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And Corey, you know, we hear you, Bill. Corey, this has apparently been going on for a while. There's been a lot of violence in Cincinnati, as Bill shared with us yesterday. Is that a significant problem there in your city?
Absolutely is. First off, I want to say hi to my friend Bill, one of the most electric people in Cincinnati. But the reality of it is that whenever you see these videos, the entire nation watched in horror and shock. But for people that live in Cincinnati, this is a continuation of things that we've seen, especially through the summer months of this year. And like what Bill said, many people are focusing on, oh, well, the social media aspect, the video aspect. The problem is that violence like this should not be taking place on the streets of a major city in America. And that is coming from the top down. See this, that it's trickled down incompetence, and it's coming from the top down. Things need to be done better.
Bill, again, going back to what locals are saying there, I know they've got to be lighting up the phones at WLW. What are their concerns about downtown?
I'll give you a classic comment I received today from an African-American. I don't know the guy. He said, look, whoever you don't care as long as the person being beat up is black. You only care if they're white. And my point to him was, does this happen all the time in the black community? And he said, yes. What we saw on video, he said, happens all the time in the black community. And I said, why do you put up with that? Why not change the leadership that caused the policies resulting in that kind of behavior? This is rather a circuitous logic. I care about the black community. Hell, I'm 5% black, I'm told. I'm told that the Cunningham name is all over the black community. I care about black guys getting beat up. And so if this, what we see in Cincinnati on video, is happening all the time in the black community, but the victims are black, the perpetrators are black, why doesn't the black community seek different solutions to the problem? How about that idea?
You know, Pastor, we deal with this in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, quite a bit. And it seems to me a lot of Republicans are just afraid to jump into these kinds of issues. They're afraid of being called racist. But the reality is that there are black victims as well. There is a crime epidemic here. And I think a lot of people are wondering who is going to stand up and who's going to address that big issue.
Well, no, you're exactly right. Many people are afraid to stand up. I want to encourage anybody. We're running this race as mayor of Cincinnati. And yes, we've had some pushback, but every day we hear the voices of people thanking us for standing up and taking a stand against these things. You know, I was just looking at my phone and a major restaurant in Cincinnati, Jeff Ruby's, just issued a statement calling for action from the city leaders. Enough is enough. People are tired and everybody wants to spin this into causing more division with the citizens of Cincinnati, but we need to focus on who the real enemy is, and that is incompetent leadership.
All right, and that's just a little bit of the conversation we had with Bill Cunningham yesterday on Newsmax. You can, by the way, go to our Facebook page. We're posting the entire interview there. All right, folks, wow, it has been an insane day. We're also following some breaking news out of Virginia. This is just terrible. Danville, Virginia, where a Republican city council member was set on fire. This is insane. The council member's name, Lee Vogler, and he was working in his office when a guy forced his way into the building with a 5-gallon bucket of gasoline, poured the gasoline, and then just set the council member on fire. He's a Republican, by the way. So we're going to keep you updated on this. But what a horrible, horrible situation there in Virginia. Danville, Virginia. All right, folks, so we've got to scoot out of here again. 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, noon to 3 Eastern. You be good, America.